good to see everyone this morning. I appreciate the elders asking me to bring a lesson. I get to do it so infrequently anymore that it's just like the first time. You stand up here behind this podium and your knees knocking together, but y'all bear with me. If you will, turn in your text or in your Bibles to Luke, the 10th chapter. We're going to find a situation that takes place with our Lord and try to get some information that we can use on a daily basis from what is said here. Beginning in verse 38 of that text, says, "Now when it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" Mary and Martha happened to be the sisters of Lazarus, the individual that friend of Jesus who he raised from the dead. And we read about Mary and Martha three different times over in the Gospel of John in chapters 11 and 12. Lazarus isn't mentioned in this event here. Whether he's absent or whether he's away, it doesn't matter. The important thing is we want to look at what was happening in the lives of Mary and Martha that Jesus thought it important that we know. In our brief story, Martha's concerned with her domestic responsibilities or showing hospitality. And this was something that was common in those days. People had a responsibility or showed hospitality for people who came into their homes. But Mary, however, is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And her interest or concern was not on the physical cares of this life, but on the spiritual things of God. She wanted to hear what the Lord had to say. She put emphasis upon what the Lord had to say. And Mary is distracted or cumbered about. She was drawn around. She was being drawn from this to that, to everything that was going on, which involved the serving of those people who had come into her home. And she comes to the Lord and she says in verse 40, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Like this is a responsibility of our Lord to get involved in the menial things of the day. And Jesus, who knows the thoughts of all men, knew that Martha was troubled. She was troubled about the things that were going on. She wanted to make sure that everyone's needs was sought to. She was so preoccupied with the worldly problems that she failed to see the important thing of the Lord being in her house and the Lord teaching. Now this is not attempting to excuse Mary from meeting her earthly obligations. But Mary had her priorities in order. Mary should help remind us of the important things that enter our lives daily. Paul writes to the Philippian brethren in Philippians 3 in verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3 verses 13 and 14 said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." Stress and press forward with it. So what was the problem that Jesus identified in this passage that we read in Luke 10? What was the problem? Notice down in verse 41. "Martha, Martha, you're worried." How many of us go through life from day to day and we worry about this and we worry about that? All of my gray hairs, and there's a bunch of them, because of the worries that have... No, actually, I'm kidding. But we worry, seemingly, about nothing. People worry because they don't put the emphasis where the emphasis ought to be placed. The English word for worry is to strangle or choke. The Greek word, distracted, drawn in different directions. And both definitions have merit and application for us today. And this is the situation that Martha was in. She was being drawn from one place to another, from one thing to another, to take care of the earthly things that she felt was important. More important than listening to what the Lord had to say. Don't misunderstand. It is not wrong to express concern. We all do. We have concerns. The Apostle Paul had concerns. He wrote to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 11:28, "Besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all of the churches." Don't we have concern for our brethren? Don't we have concern for the sick? Don't we have concern for things of this nature? Concern for our brethren? So it's not wrong to have concern. The wrong is to worry about things. Worry is over concern. Worry is spending all of your time and your effort to try to solve some problem that you don't even know whether you can solve or not. Overly concerned. To be greatly distracted from what we should be doing. Today, many are overly concerned or distracted. One author writes, "We live in pressure cooker times of tension and stress with heart attacks and ulcers, pep pills, and tranquilizers as the order of the day." And you know, the funny thing about it is that some estimate as high as 90% of it, 90% of what we spend overly concerned about doesn't take place anyway. It doesn't take place anyway. Is it a problem in the church? Definitely. If worry was not a problem in the Bible, if it wasn't a problem in the church, then how come we have so much said about it in the Bible? Jesus knew it would cause people to fall away from their faith. In Luke, the 8th chapter, we have the parable of the sower. And in verse 7 of Luke 8, Jesus says some of the seed that he's talking about, some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Then going down into verse 14, where he's explaining the meaning of the parable, he says, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, the riches, the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." So what does it mean? They were choked. They worried about the things of the world and not of the things of God. Far too many instances, precious souls are drawn away by the cares of this world, by the things that they have no control over, instead of trusting on the thing that they should be trusting in. Turn, if you will, to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, makes a statement in Matthew 6 and beginning in verse 24. Beginning in verse 24 and reading down to the end of the passage or chapter. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. No man can serve two masters. The Lord said, you can't serve him and serve mammon. Well, what does he mean by the term mammon? Mammon refers to the riches or wealth of the world. To serve mammon means to be a servant or a slave to the riches of the world. Mammon is the god of riches, the god which bestows the worship of whom gives riches and worldly power as its reward. H. Leo Bowles once wrote. The Lord makes it very plain that one cannot be a slave to riches and be a slave to Christ. Dropping back a couple of verses earlier in this passage in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Seek after the things of God, and let the things, let God take care of the other things. Paul said basically the same thing in Colossians 2, or 3, verses 2 and 3, when he said, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden in Christ in God. and to Timothy, a passage that Eddie read earlier today. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Riches in themselves are not the sin. Desiring the riches, and that being the motivator that drives us, is service to mammon leads to anxiety. It leads to worry. But Jesus says not to worry about your life. We shouldn't worry about the essentials. Life, and I mean eternal life, is more than the food and the clothing that we seem to seek. If God will provide the greater, then why worry about the lesser? Again, looking at the illustration that Jesus uses in the passage that we read beginning in verse 26, he said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Do you? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown to the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you little faith." Think about it now. Consider the birds of the air. Man is more important than the birds of the air. We go back over to the creation account in Genesis. In Genesis 1, verse 28, "And God blessed them," man and woman. "God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the flesh of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." If man is to have dominion over the birds of the air, then man is more important than the birds. The birds don't sow. The birds don't reap. They don't gather into their harvest in the barn like man does, and yet God provides for them. You have a middle illustration in there. Man, it doesn't make any difference what he thinks or how much he worries about it. He can't change his height. It doesn't do any good to worry about it. You can't add one cubit to your stature. And finally he says, consider the lilies of the field. Consider the lilies of the field. Lilies apparently were commonplace in Palestine back in these days. Brother J.C. Dean sent me an email last week or week before last of some pictures taken here in Texas of Texas bluebonnets. Consider that to bring it into focus with something that you can realize what is. Nothing is more beautiful than seeing a field with the Texas bluebonnets or the bluebonnets on it. As far as the eye can see, can you consider the lilies of the field being similar to that? They don't toil or spin. In other words, don't toil as men do to earn clothing. They don't spin as the wife or the woman did to make the clothing back in those days. And even Solomon and all of his glory, the great king, the great kingdom that he had and all of his external glory could not compare to the beauty of these lilies. The point of it is that if God clothes the field, he will surely clothe you and care for you. So why worry about it? Again, in verse 30, the last part of verse 30, Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." God will certainly not forsake us any more than a father will forsake his children. Over in the sixth chapter of Matthew, early part of the sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus is talking about prayer. And he's talking about the prayer of the hypocrites. And he's talking about prayers of the heathen. And then in verse 8, he says, "Therefore do not be like them," the hypocrites or the heathen. "For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask." God knows what we need before we ask. So our primary focus should be on the spiritual matters and not the earthly matters. There's a hard part to this passage. Can we stop to think about it? There's a hard part. Should we not be concerned about tomorrow? Should we not be concerned about tomorrow? After all, Lord willing, unless he comes and sends Christ back to take us out, there will be a tomorrow. Should I not prepare for that? We go to the grocery store. In most cases, we go to the grocery store and we buy groceries and going to cover us for a week or so. Should we not worry about tomorrow? Or let me rephrase that. Should we not be concerned about tomorrow? Not to be overly anxious, we shouldn't. We shouldn't be overly anxious about the future. Tomorrow has enough problems of its own to deal with. Don't worry about it. Such worry will cause one to be distracted from spiritual things, and that's where the emphasis should be. Again, Paul, writing to the Philippian church, says in Philippians 4, in verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Prayer helps. We sing a song, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." The pain, the suffering, worry, all because we don't pray as we should. James says, James 4 verse 2, "You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." You do not ask. God told the Apostle Paul, said, you're going to Rome. You're going to Rome. And Paul faced shipwreck in Acts the 27th chapter, and then verse 25, when the winds are boisterous and it looks like the ship is going to go down. Paul says, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he told me. Paul had confidence in God and the prayer that God would save them, because God told him that you're going to Rome. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to Rome. We must pray and we must trust as Paul did. Paul also said to the Philippians in Philippians 4 and verse 11. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. He was content in everything that he had. Can you imagine being put in prison? Being put in stocks, even. And being content with it. Paul and Silas were, Acts the 16th chapter, verse 25, at midnight, they were in stocks in prison, and they were singing praises to God. They were content with what they were. Where they were, they knew that God was with them. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul told the Philippians. Too many Christians sing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, on Sunday morning, and then when they get ready to leave, go home for the day, they close that book on the trust that is there. Paul tells us to focus our thoughts. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The items under consideration are spiritual. And the more we focus upon spiritual things, the more we're going to get away from this overly concerned. We're going to get away from this worry. We're less inclined to worry about these temporal matters that confront us from day to day. One must be careful to not take a lesson like this to the extreme, however. Where one develops an attitude, oh, I give up. I'm just going to let whatever happens, happen. You know, God gave us intelligence. He gave us intelligence that when we go out here, if we want to walk across the street, we're going to look, and if traffic's not coming, we'll go across the street. But if we don't look and we decide to go out and there's a car coming along and it's going a little faster than what Westworth Village allows, we get hit. But you say, oh, I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to let whatever happen, happens. That's the wrong attitude. Granted, one can develop an extreme of ignoring the things of this life and suffering for it. One can say, I'm tired of paying bills. And aren't we all? I'm tired of paying bills. I'm tired of worrying about the money to pay those bills. So what will we do? Let's just forget the bills. Let's just forget the bills. That will eliminate me from worrying about it. No, it doesn't eliminate the worry. All it does is show that you're trying to escape the responsibility. Paul said, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. The solution is to not be like the ostrich and bury our heads in the sand, but learn to cope with the things that happen from day to day and trust in the Lord to take care of us. Pray to the Lord that He will take care of us. When we stop and consider that our life here is but a few short years, 70, 80 years as mentioned in Psalms 90 verse 10, and by the way, I'm going to be talking about that tonight, or even 90 or 100, we need to ask ourselves, is it really worth it to worry about all the cares of this life? We need to be like David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, who said, blessed are all that put their trust in Him. Psalms 2 and verse 12. Psalm 7 verse 1. O Lord my God, in You I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me. In Psalms 23 verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. In Psalms 56 verse 4. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? That's the attitude that we need to have, brother. Put our cares in God. And not worry about the things of this life. I hope the lesson's been beneficial. If there's any here this morning who has not named the name of Christ, we ask that you consider the need. Don't worry about where you'll spend eternity by being a child of God. If you need to obey the gospel, then we ask that you consider seriously that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that He came and gave His life that all of us may have hope of eternal life. Believe in Him. Repent of your sins. Be buried with Him in baptism, where you come in contact with the blood, and raised to walk in newness of life. If there's any here who's done that and fallen short for any way or in any way, we ask that you, if you have a need, please come while we stand to sing a song of invitation.